Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob Brenton is here as well, taking you up to 6 o'clock. You can catch the show on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, also the Odyssey app. You can also stream the show on YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you stream videos. The show is probably there. All right, this is the analogy that I would like to make, because I am imagining that a lot of us fellas have been in this situation. You have been talking to a young lady or whomever you were talking to, and things in the beginning were going great. They were great. You were just hanging out. And it was stress-free. It was easy. You loved it. And eventually, either you were sitting there trying to watch the game, maybe you were at a dinner, maybe you're laying there right next to her, and she rolls over and she looks at you and says, "So what are we doing?" At that moment, the clock starts. All the fun that you had, it can continue, but you know exactly what she's asking you. This has been fun, but I'm ready for something a little bit more. I need more of a commitment than you have currently made. She wants some reassurances. I call this the video game theory. You have played a video game. You played it on a lower level. Maybe you're trying to learn the game. You have mastered the game at that lower level. You now have a choice. You can quit playing the game because the game has become boring and repetitive, or you can up the difficulty level and keep playing. New challenges, fun, adventure, all of those things. That's where it feels to me like the Pittsburgh Steelers are as an organization. No one is denying on whether or not Mike Tomlin is a great coach or not. That's not up for debate. That's not a question. Mike Tomlin is one of the better coaches in the National Football League. But just because he is a really good coach and could be for the Jets or the Saints or whomever doesn't necessarily mean that it is going to be the right fit for you. Mike Tomlin's career in Pittsburgh started out as well as any coach in their first job has ever started. They won 12 games in three of his first five seasons. They won the Super Bowl in his second year. They went to another Super Bowl. They were a really, really good team. They then went through a little bit of a lull. He then comes back in that middle part. That's with Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, James Harrison, all of those guys. And they have another run. It wasn't as good as the first run, but they made the playoffs for four consecutive years. They went to an AFC championship game. They won a handful of playoff games. The Steelers were a great franchise. And then the music stopped. The Steelers haven't won a playoff game since January of 2017. I looked it up because I was curious. Star Boy by the Weeknd was the number one song in the country the last time that the Steelers won a playoff game. Kids were doing the mannequin challenge to Black Beatles the last time that the Steelers won a playoff game. Is this what you want to be? If the goal for Pittsburgh is to be a wild card team, then they have succeeded. If you're happy with being a team that is never going to bottom out, you're going to win 7, 8 games, 9 at a minimum, that's your floor, but you don't have a relatively high ceiling, keep doing what you're doing. It seems to be working for everybody else. You're not a threat anymore. Our entire life, the Steelers have been the example, the model franchise of what you want to be for consistency year in, year out. The Steelers are always going to be there. They've never been bad in our lifetime. The Steelers have never been what Tennessee has been, what Jacksonville has been, what Indianapolis has been. They've always been right there in the mix. Maybe not in the Super Bowl mix, but they're usually in the playoff mix. We've seen some collapses the last couple of years for this Pittsburgh Steelers team. Back in 2020, the COVID season, the Steelers got out to a 11-0 start. They were arguably the best team in the league. They faded down the stretch and lost in the first round of the playoffs to the Cleveland Browns. this past season. The Steelers are one of the better teams in the National Football League. They're winning games. Mike Tomlin, everything's going good. Russell Wilson rejuvenated. The Steelers might actually be something. But they weren't. I heard this stat earlier today. Over the last month of the NFL, there have been three teams that haven't won a game. Number one is the Tennessee Titans. They have the number one overall pick. Number two is the Cleveland Browns. They have the number two overall pick. Guess who number three is? It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the company that you're in the final month of the season when you're supposed to be playing your best football. You're now playing football that's comparable to the Titans and the Browns. That's not great company to keep. Let me give you guys a couple of more stats about the Steelers. Andrew Filippone looked this up. He's my brother. Pony was going through it this weekend on the timeline. In the Steelers' last six playoff losses, so since they beat the Chiefs in the playoffs, the Eric Fisher holding Sunday Night Football, since that game, the Steelers have played 360 minutes of playoff football. They have only had a lead for 4 minutes and 56 seconds in their last six playoff games combined. 4 minutes and 56 seconds. They are not close in these games. They are not competitive in these games. In fact, they have been a disaster in these postseason games. I'll give you my final stat about Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers. In their last five postseason games, they have found themselves down 21-0, 28-0, 35-7, 28-0, and 21-0. This dates back to 2017. There are some things that are your fault if you are the head coach. Now, some front office moves, some acquisitions, those can be general manager, front office decisions. Effort, energy, execution, those are coaching things. And what I've seen from the Steelers for the last month or so is a team that looks like they have given up on himself. Your quarterback is not executing. Your star wide receiver doesn't seem to be on the same page as anybody. That's not the first time that that's been the case. I saw a team that came out for a playoff game and looked largely uninspired. I saw a team for a playoff game look like they were ready for their season to be over and played like it for the first 25 minutes or so. They were down 21-0 at the half. The season's over. It's 1-2-3 Cancun. It's time to start making plans. It's time to start figuring out what you're going to do with your Sunday because you're going to be free. Are the Steelers fine with just settling? Because it feels like that's what they're in. They're happy just having a comfortable relationship. There's no thrills. There's no excitement. There's no none of that. It's just comfortable. I got a steady paycheck. She's got a steady paycheck. I mean, it could be better, you know, but, you know, it's not bad. It's not the worst that it can be. And I agree for the most part. It's not as bad as it could be for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It could definitely be worse than what it currently is. But is that living? Is that being an NFL team? You have no chance of beating Kansas City, no chance of beating Buffalo, no chance of beating Baltimore. You've been passed up by Houston. I don't care if you made the playoffs. You are a middle-of-the-road average football team, and you've been that now for the last eight seasons. That's fun. That's exciting. So I don't know what the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to do. Maybe the Steelers don't care about that. They don't want to be bad. They don't want to be Indianapolis. They don't want to be Tennessee, and they are fine just being a wild card team that could maybe win one game and has no chance of competing at the higher level. But that's not the Steelers that you and I grew up with. The Steelers that you and I grew up with set the standard, set the tone. They were one of the marquee franchises in the league, a blueprint of stability. That's not what they are anymore. If I was the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'd trade Mike Tomlin. It's time. It just doesn't work anymore. It's over. For what you want to be as an organization, it does not work anymore. And it's time to go in a completely different direction. That's not an indictment on who Mike Tomlin is as a coach. He is a phenomenal head coach. He's just not a great coach for you anymore. Maybe he's a great coach for another team. That's not your problem. It's about how do you put yourself in a position where you can catch up to those top four teams in the AFC, because those four teams are unchanged from a season ago. Kansas City's not getting any worse at quarterback. Neither is Buffalo. Neither is Baltimore. Houston's not getting any worse. If anything, Houston is kind of fortunate to be here because of all the injuries that they've taken over the last three, 4 weeks or so. That used to be Pittsburgh. You used to be in this conversation, Rob. You used to be in the mix. That is no longer the case for Pittsburgh.
your relationship analogy is really good about how they're comfortable, but there's no spark, there's no sizzle, there's no excitement anymore. But I would argue for NFL teams, this is where the relationship analogy ends, that's the hardest spot to make the most difficult decisions. How many times do we see this across the league? And then eventually the coach just stops being good enough, and that's when they get fired. But, I mean, you as a GM or an owner have to make the decision that we are not okay with 10-7 anymore and risk that could be gone forever. Because we all know in the NFL, it stands for not for long. And if you fire Mike Tomlin and you hire the wrong guy, you could easily turn to the Patriots. You could easily bottom out. You could easily be absolutely terrible. And nothing is more terrifying for owners than being just miserable. Look at how this happened with the Chiefs and Carl Peterson for years and years and years. He was good enough, but never great. I know GM and coach are different, but it was time for a change. And yeah, the Chiefs bottomed out, but they had to reascend, and that moment scares owners.
I agree, but this is where I think you and I maybe we agree, disagree. I don't want to assume how you feel. I don't think it's that hard to get to where the Steelers are. Half the league is where the Steelers are. 14 of 32 teams make the postseason. It's not that hard to get back to a playoff level. The hard part is, how do you go from being a 9-10 win team to an 11-12-13 win team? Those are the teams that can win the Super Bowl. 10 win teams are not winning the Super Bowl. That's not where they are. So where they are right now, sure, maybe you go through a little bit of a down period, but what are you doing here? You can get back to being a team that doesn't win their division and a team that doesn't win playoff games. And that's who you've been for the last 8 years. At some point, maybe you got to be the Colts to eventually be Buffalo. Maybe at some point you eventually got to be the Jets to eventually be Baltimore or Kansas City. But the path that you're currently on right now, it's just safe. You're going to win 9 games. Sure, we're going to pat you on the back. I think there are 3 things that we overvalue. We overvalue what it means to make the NCAA tournament. Out of the Power 5 schools, what, Rob, 35 of them make it? It's not that hard to be a 8-10 Big 12 team that makes the NCAA tournament and is 11 seed. It's not that hard to be a bowl team, to finish 6-6. There's 47 bowl games out there. Just don't be terrible and you'll make a bowl game. Almost half the NFL makes the postseason. Is your goal to make the postseason or is your goal to win the Super Bowl? Because the Steelers are not close on the path of what it takes to actually win the Super Bowl. We can take you guys' phone calls coming up on the other side, 913-586-7965. We'll read your text on this. I think it's time for the Steelers to move on from Mike Tomlin. It's over. You have had a great run, a phenomenal run. Mike Tomlin should be in your Ring of Honor or whatever they have in Pittsburgh. But if the goal is to win championships, I don't think that Mike Tomlin can take you there in 2025, and ultimately, that's what we're doing this for. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Right now, we're talking about Mike Tomlin. If I was the Steelers, I would move on from him. Let me tell you guys that the show is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending, where homeowners can get cash in as little as 14 days. All you need to do is visit goldenoaklending.com to learn more. So a couple of people that have texted in. CDOT, if the Steelers have a quarterback problem, they don't have a coach problem. This is exactly where the Chiefs were with Alex Smith. If they want to be bold, they need to take a leap and go get a quarterback and not dump the coach. I don't disagree with you. This would be my question. How many chances does Mike Tomlin need to get to go find the quarterback? Didn't they draft a quarterback in round one? It didn't work. They drafted a quarterback, right? Kenny Pickett. That didn't work out. All right, cool. All right, hey, we're going to let you then keep deciding what you want to do with quarterback. They then went out and got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. How many failed opportunities does Mike Tomlin need to go find his quarterback? Especially when you've had the job since 2007. Rob, you were in high school when Mike Tomlin started. You graduated college and you're married in your 30s now. How long do you get to be the head coach? All right, cool. We've gone through some rocky times. All right, that's fine. I'm not saying you need to fire him instantly. Coming off a playoff appearance in 2017, they then missed the playoffs for back-to-back seasons. All right, they've now made the playoffs in four of the last 5 years. They haven't won any of those games. They started the year 11-0. They ended the year 12-4 and lost in the first round against Cleveland. There have been 28 different head coaches that have won a playoff game since Mike Tomlin has last won one. To put this in a better perspective, Doug Peterson was the offensive coordinator when Mike Tomlin started this streak. He took over as the Eagles coach. He won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, got fired with the Eagles, got hired with the Jacksonville Jaguars, won a playoff game with Jacksonville, and then got fired with Jacksonville, all in the time frame since Mike Tomlin has last won a postseason game. It's not what are you walking away from if you were the Steelers? You have won the division one time in the last 10 years. You haven't won a playoff game since Obama's second term. What are we doing here? That's my question. It feels like settling to me. I'm fine with letting Mike Tomlin pick his quarterback. You picked Kenny Pickett. It didn't work. You picked Russell Wilson. It didn't work. You had Mitch Trubisky. It didn't work. You've tried four different quarterback plans over the last 7 years. None of those plans have worked. How many chances, Rob, do you get to try to figure out the quarterback position if you failed now for six consecutive years?
And it really doesn't matter who the quarterback is. They seem to be failing the same way every season. How many times has it been October? It's been around Halloween. And we're talking about, well, the Steelers are a team to watch out for. That COVID year you mentioned, they were undefeated. This year, there was a time where, like, are they part of the race for the one seed? Because they were lingering around. Even with Ben Roethlisberger's corpse at quarterback, there was a couple years you felt like, oh, they're still competitive. Kenny Pickett had that team competitive. They eventually went to a playoff game with Kenny Pickett. Like, it seems like Halloween happens. We all say, look at the Steelers. They're doing something over there. And then we have our Thanksgiving turkey. We unwrap our gifts and we realize they're 10-7 and they're a nothing team every single season. So whether it's Kenny Pickett, Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, if I know how the story every season plays out with the Steelers, that can't be on the quarterback every single time. That eventually falls on the coaching staff. A coaching staff that, mind you, continues to surround these quarterbacks that are average with bad offensive coordinators. Arthur Smith was a joke of a head coach in Atlanta. He literally wouldn't give the ball to Bijan Robinson in the red zone. It was like comical about how much he never gave the ball to Bijan Robinson. He's now the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh. Like, that was your hire to change the offense and be different? Last year, they were flying planes over the stadium and said, fire Matt Canada. That's the guy you bring in? It feels like a change is needed because, and as the text line says, it's a great analogy, it feels like Mike Tomlin is Marty Schottenheimer of the Chiefs. He has the Super Bowl, so it's different, but we know the story every single season, and we know how it ends. You have to be able to make a change, and maybe that's Tomlin. Maybe that's taking power away from Tomlin. Maybe that's, I don't know what it is, but 10-7 and losing in the wild card weekend and getting boat raced in wild card weekend is not what Steelers fans have come to expect for a franchise that has what? The most Super Bowls of any team? Goodness gracious.
And we can move on from this, but just the Super Bowl that you won in 2009 ain't keeping me warm anymore. If the Royals can eventually move on from Dayton Moore, if the Patriots can eventually move on from Tom Brady, I don't know why the Steelers are so beholden to it. Is a one have you done for me lately kind of league. What have you done for me lately kind of profession and business? And if you have made the playoffs in four of the last 5 years, you haven't any of those games, you haven't been competitive in any of those games, what are we doing this for? Are we doing this to make the wild card? Or are we doing this to try to win the Super Bowl? Last thing on this, and I do want to get back to the AFC West and the two teams that lost in the postseason this weekend. Here's George Pickens. He was asked about his future in Pittsburgh. He was not very optimistic.
With this offense now for 3 years, have you seen signs of growth, and how much more does this team still need to grow offensively?
Yeah, I've seen signs of growth for sure. From past, the first year I've been here, just way more growth for sure.
Does that make you optimistic going forward?
Nah.
That was George Pickens talking about his feelings toward the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he is not optimistic about the future. First thing they need to do before anything is George Pickens cannot be on the team anymore. Whatever you're trying to build, you are not building it with George Pickens around. He has been a disaster from an attitude perspective this year. No one is doubting if the kid can play or not. He is just not the kind of energy that I think you need in the locker room if you're trying to get this thing back on track. All right, I got a toss-up question to ask you guys. 913-586-7965. I would say right now that the Broncos and the Chargers feel like they are in very similar places. Maybe you think the Chargers are better. Maybe somebody else thinks the Broncos are better. They are two teams in the same division that do not really seem to have a chance of actually winning the division, and they are two teams that lost in the exact same round of the postseason and were not really competitive in their game. They feel like they are 6-1 and half a dozen in the other. Rob, if I give you the ability to pick one of these franchises for the next 5 years to move forward with, I'm going to make you the general manager of either the Broncos or the Los Angeles Chargers, and you can have a major part in determining the future for those two organizations. Which one would you pick? Would you pick Denver, or would you pick the Los Angeles Chargers?
I'd pick Los Angeles. I still think Justin Herbert's better than Bo Nix, which is a great starting point. Like, maybe Justin Herbert isn't that guy. Maybe Justin Herbert isn't Patrick Mahomes. Maybe he's not Josh Allen. He might not be one of those dudes. And that's fine. I think he's better than Bo Nix, so I get a better quarterback. I think Jim Harbaugh is a better head coach than Sean Payton. Maybe that's 6-1 and half a dozen the other, but I feel like Jim Harbaugh is a better coach than Sean Payton. So right off the jump, I get the better quarterback and the better coach. I also think when it comes to roster development, things of those nature, it's important to remember the Chargers were supposed to be take a step back to take a step forward this season. It was supposed to be this is the year we eat it and we pay the tab on all those bad contracts we signed. We got to deal with the fact that we're paying Khalil Mack a boatload of money to be average. We're paying Joey Bosa a boatload of money. We made a bad investment with J.C. Jackson. We made a bad investment with Mike Williams. They were paying the tab on those mistakes from a previous regime this season. The plan was take it in the teeth this year and then really hit the ground running in 2025. Well, their take a step back year, they were in the playoffs. So I get Herbert, Harbaugh, and cap space. I think I would take the Chargers going forward. I think it's, you know, like you said, 6-1 hand, half dozen the other. But if you made me pick, I would take Los Angeles over Denver.
Have you ever been in a restaurant and you tried the food? And the food wasn't bad. It just was missing something. Maybe a little spice, a little salt, a little pepper. You can't really explain it, but it was missing something. That's kind of what I feel like Justin Herbert is. Justin Herbert is a steak that just, you can't explain it. There's something missing. Everything is there with Herbert. But you and I watched the same game. CJ Stroud, you can see it with him. I don't want to hear this, oh, well, the weapons, he only has Ladd McConkey. Who does CJ Stroud have right now? Because Tank Dell is injured. Stephon Diggs is injured. He's got Nico Collins. He's got Joe Mixon and himself. And I saw him dominate a team. His team was turning the ball over left and right. They were -4 in the turnover differential. And I saw CJ Stroud make play after play after play. And he was a reason why his team won. I've never felt like that with Justin Herbert. You and I have watched Herbert now for what, 5 years, 6 years in the league? Is there a play that you think of with Herbert? Is there a moment? Is there a memory? Is there a drive? You and I like to throw out the question. It is first and 10 from the 25-yard line. Your team is down 4. And you got to trust that your quarterback can get your team down the field and score a touchdown. Are you confident that Herbert can do that? Are you trusting right now for a guy that just last week on this show was called an elite quarterback? Not from me, not from you, but a guy who has seen him play every single day. Are you confident that he can get you down the field? I just feel like what we've seen with Justin Herbert is just empty calories. That's what it is. It's empty calories. He has not done anything meaningful. He has not done anything lasting. He has not done anything that we remember in the National Football League. He just puts up these stats and numbers and they look pretty. And now when it's time for you to showcase that, when you got a road playoff game against Trevor Lawrence and your team gets up big, hey, some of why you lost is on you. You were a 3-point favorite in that game. Rob, you and I came into it. You got the better coach, the better quarterback, the better defense. You got better weapons. This is the game that you should go out there and win. And Herbert plays his worst game of the season. I think Bo Nix has some of that. I would say the thing that I was most wrong on with Bo Nix is I just thought he had a high floor. I didn't think he had a relatively high ceiling. I just thought he had a high floor. I didn't think Bo Nix was going to be a bust. I just didn't think there was really much chance of him being one of the better quarterbacks in the league. If I'm the Broncos, I feel very encouraged about what happened this season. Sure, we made the playoffs this year and we didn't go very far. But more than anything, we have been trying to figure out that position. And we've tried a lot of different ways over the last 5-6 years or so. We tried a big trade with Russell Wilson. We tried this draft pick. We tried this. The Broncos have been taking chances at quarterback. It finally feels like they hit with one. So go out this offseason, invest in wide receiver, try to get your running game shored up because they were very one-dimensional in the game against Buffalo. You got a top defense with one of the top defensive players. You got a good head coach. I will feel very optimistic today if I'm a Broncos fan about what the future looks like. I would take Denver if I got to pick both of these teams long term. I think that Bo Nix, he seems like he has something special and put in the right situation, I think he can make something happen. I lost a lot of hope, a lot of faith, a lot of confidence in Justin Herbert this weekend with what I saw. He had the worst performance of any quarterback this weekend, and we shouldn't be saying that about a guy who is in the prime of his career, who just got paid big time money, who we think is a top 10 talent in the league. There's no reason why a rookie quarterback in Bo Nix played better than you this weekend and a rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels. I'm just not sure if Herbert's special.
Let me ask you something. Let me rephrase that. Here's the thing about Bo Nix, and I'm not a super Bo-liever. I still think he's just a high-floor guy, and I think Sean Payton can maximize that floor because Sean Payton's also a good NFL head coach. Man, I will continue to say it. His age does scare me a little bit. You know that Bo Nix is 24 and Justin Herbert's 26? Think about that. Justin Herbert was drafted in 2020. He was part of Clyde Edwards-Hilaire's draft class. They were doing it virtual, and Roger Goodell was trying to say Tua Tagovailoa's name and couldn't do it. He, in that same draft, drafted Justin Herbert. It was April or May of 2020. And Justin Herbert today is 26 years old. Bo Nix today, both of them are cleaning out their lockers into the season. Bo Nix is 24. So I understand why people think there's more with Bo Nix. He's only been a starter for 1 year in the league. I get it. But I feel like some of this, we know what Justin Herbert is a little bit unfair for a 26-year-old. I think Jim Harbaugh can find that next level. I think Jim Harbaugh can find another level to him. Now, I don't think that level ever is going to be the Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes level. I don't think he's ever living up to what the standard was, which is that. But there's no reason why Justin Herbert can't be a Jared Goff, which is a good quarterback.
I feel like we've been saying that for 4 years now, that he can be this guy and he can be this guy. The reason I disagree with you on Justin Herbert is, at this stage in his career, if he was that guy, wouldn't we know by now? I mean, at this point, Jared Goff took a team to a Super Bowl. He took the Rams to a Super Bowl. Mahomes had emerged by 26. Lamar, Josh Allen, like, who's the quarterback that at this stage in their career, and as we are entering year six, you didn't know? You and I already know about Joe Burrow. You and I already know about these certain guys. We can't be having the same conversations entering year six with Herbert that we were having entering year two with Herbert. I feel like we are in the exact same place. I'm reading the text line, CDOT, are you doing this because you feel betrayed by the Chargers? No, maybe to put a player comparison on it, I think Bo Nix can be Baker Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield has proven that he's pretty capable. Now, are you going to give him a Mike Evans, a legitimate number one wide receiver type? That's not what Cortland Sutton is. He's fine, but he's not one of the better receivers in the league. I think there is a chance that the Broncos have Baker Mayfield on their team. All right, well, now that you have Baker Mayfield, who I think has proven that he's more than a capable NFL quarterback, it's now about how you do the other things. I don't really know what Justin Herbert is. He's, I would say, too talented to be near the bottom group of quarterbacks in the NFL. He's far too talented to be in that group. but he's also nowhere near the guys whose class and his talent say that he should be in the conversation. He should be in the conversation with the Mahomes, the Allens, the Burrows, the Lamar Jackson. All of the talent is there, but just there is none of the things that make those guys special. They don't appear to be in Justin Herbert, not in my mind. I've seen Josh Allen do special things and have a team that has doesn't have the coach, doesn't have the weapons, doesn't have any of those things. I've seen Josh Allen do special things. I don't think I've seen Herbert do anything special.
If you have Bo Nix in the Baker Mayfield category, wouldn't that be the definition of someone who's not going to do anything special either, though? Like, isn't that just a guy who needs everything to break right and then things can go a certain way until he hits a ceiling? Like, if you're telling me you're taking the Broncos and Bo Nix or Justin Herbert because you think Bo Nix can be Baker Mayfield, yeah, Baker Mayfield's a great story. And Baker Mayfield's revitalization into good quarterback in the league is a very nice story. But he's a guy with a ceiling. He's a guy who is, you know what he is? Perfect for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's wild card or bust. Herbert has the physicality and the intangibles and tools to be more. And you know what? Maybe it's going to come off like apologetic to Herbert. Fine. Whatever. Why can't Justin Herbert be what Alex Smith was? Alex Smith was broken in San Francisco. Remember, he had, what, 4 offensive coordinators in 4 years? Enter Jim Harbaugh, and he got the best out of him. And then he hit another level when Andy Reid got a hold of him. And, yeah, that level was not the best quarterback in the league. He was never Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. But why can't Justin Herbert be that? He had, what, Anthony Lynn as his head coach? He had Brandon Staley's head coach. They weren't surrounding him and bathing him in glory with offensive minds.
It's just bad if now.
Door.
It's just bad now if we're asking if Justin Herbert can be Alex Smith. Like, I'm just saying, is you have resigned to the fact that he cannot be an elite quarterback in the league, and now the best case scenario is can he be Alex Smith? That's bad. And I'm with you that Bo Nix has a ceiling, but I would say then there's only 3 quarterbacks in the league that we don't think have that ceiling. And we have our own questions about Lamar in the postseason about how great he can be then. I think that he can be Baker Mayfield. I think he can be Jared Goff. If you're telling me that Bo Nix turns out to be Jared Goff, then great. Now you need to go get Amon-Ra St. Brown. You need to go get Jahmyr Gibbs. You got to put things around him. So, no, he is never going to be Mahomes where you can have Kareem Hunt as your running back. You can have an aging Travis Kelce. You can lose your number one wide receiver during the year, and your team's still going to win 15 games. I don't think that's what Bo Nix can be. Can he be a capable, playoff, successful quarterback if you give him the right tools and pieces? I do think that he can be that. I'm just not really sure what environment you could put Herbert in to see him take that next step. And for a quarterback that you and I think just has all of the talent and should be in this level, should be in this conversation, I'm just not really sure that that's where he is. I do have another AFC West thoughts. We were just talking about the Broncos and the Chargers. Let me just go ahead and get all my AFC West thoughts out in this segment. You know who I think the Raiders should hire? You're going to laugh at me a little bit. What if the Raiders hired Pete Carroll? Follow me here for this. I know that Pete Carroll is old, and it kind of goes against my theory about Steve Spagnuolo and his age and when you're doing things. But if you're the Raiders, what you need more than anything is stability. I would say you also need a little bit of sizzle. You kind of got to win the headlines. It's a headline kind of attention-grabbing, attention-seeking kind of city. You go into it for a 3-4-year deal, so a smaller deal. You maybe have a plan in place for a coach in waiting. Maybe you hire a nice offensive coordinator, and when this Pete Carroll thing is over, you now have a 41-year-old head coach that is ready to take over in the meantime. I don't know if you're going to get one of those marquee head coaches if you're the Las Vegas Raiders. So why not go get Pete Carroll? You know he's going to come in well-respected. He's going to establish a culture. He's done this before. He did it at USC when USC was incredibly average. He did this in Seattle, got them to a comfortable place. You then hire Pete Carroll. You bring him in for the next couple of years. You get this to a desirable job, and then you move on to the next place. He's shown he can do well with quarterbacks. Maybe you go get a quarterback. I don't think that Pete Carroll to the Raiders is the absolute worst idea. Number one, it seems like they want Ben Johnson. I was reading it, and Tom is courting Ben Johnson. Yes, if you can go get Ben Johnson, you got a home run hire, and you got the number one coaching target on my board. But if you don't get him, I don't think that finding the best available bridge coach, the same way that we talk about with quarterback, I don't know if that's the worst strategy for them. And I think that that person is Pete Carroll. We'll get you guys' reactions to that coming up on the other side, 913-586-7965. Coming up in about 20 minutes, our guy Mitch Holtz, voice of the Chiefs, is going to join us in studio. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Rob is here. Carrington is here. You're listening on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com. You can also stream the show on YouTube, Twitch, and on Twitter. All right. Rob, I've been so excited to talk about this. I wrote it down. I wrote this down on like Saturday afternoon and just couldn't wait to talk to you about this. Have you taken a look at the teams that are still alive in the NFL playoffs and what they have in common? Now, you might be thinking quarterback. Okay, well, that's one thing that they have in common. Well, did you know that running back is maybe a little bit more important than you've given it credit? Do you know who led the Chiefs this year in yards from scrimmage? On a team that has Travis Kelce, on a team that picked up DeAndre Hopkins, on a team that had Xavier Worthy. Do you know who led the Chiefs in yards from scrimmage this year?
I'm going to guess it's Kareem Hunt.
Yeah. The Texans, they went out this offseason. Who'd they pick up? Joe Mixon.
And Stephon Diggs.
Who didn't really play. The Bills, they spent the second-round pick. They got James Cook. The Ravens, they went out. They got a future Hall of Fame running back in Derrick Henry. Look at the NFC. The Lions spent the top 15 pick on Jahmyr Gibbs. You laughed at the Lions and their biggest game of the season. Who scored 3 touchdowns this year for the Detroit Lions? Maybe it was 3-4. Who can remember? He lived in the end zone. He had a residency in the end zone. He was in the end zone longer than Usher was in Vegas. It was Jahmyr Gibbs. The Commanders, they went out. They paid Austin Ekeler. The Eagles got Saquon Barkley, depending on who wins today. The Vikings, they went out and got Aaron Jones. Kyren Williams is one of the better young running backs in the league. I've heard you tell me for the longest that running back doesn't matter. And I'm sitting here looking, and I'm seeing the resources that are spent on these running backs. I mean, Aaron Jones got a nice little free agent deal. Saquon got a nice free agent deal. Austin Ekeler, Jahmyr Gibbs, top 15 pick, Derrick Henry. Are we seeing the return of the back? Not the return of the Mac. I'm saying the return of the back. Look at the NFL right now. Teams are getting back to running the football. Is it not enjoyable? You don't see the balance that's happening right now in the league. You're not excited about this right now. You don't see? Rob, go ahead and admit you were wrong, that the league could be changing a little bit. No one says you don't have to invest in your quarterback. But maybe, just maybe, gone are the days where this offseason, Gabe Davis and Josh Jacobs were both available. I know Josh Jacobs' team lost, but not because of Josh Jacobs. He actually played pretty well in the game. Gabe Davis got paid more money this offseason than Josh Jacobs did. Gabe Davis. No. Running back matters. I'm not saying you got to go out and you got to give your running back $30 million, but the teams that went out and invested this offseason in the position and saw the returns, they also have seen the result of it in the postseason. The Ravens, the Bills, the Lions, the Commanders, teams that valued this position and were willing to go out and spend a little bit of money on a back that can run the football 200 times, catch the ball out of the backfield, do some of the little things, do the dirty work, they have been rewarded this season. We could be seeing a turn. We could be seeing a shift about running back.
As always, no, we're not. This is correlation and not causation. Do you know what every team that you just laid out also has right now? Great offensive line play. Lane Johnson for the Eagles, for example, should have been a first-team All-Pro. He really should have been. He wasn't. I know we're not going to get into an argument about first-team All-Pro at right tackle, but he should have been. They also have one of the best offensive lines in the country. Not surprising that they have a running back who can run well behind it. The Lions. What have the Lions consistently invested in? Winning in the trenches. They had David Montgomery. They had Jamal Williams. They had Jahmyr Gibbs. They've had a cavalcade of backs be successful. Is that because they have great running backs come through and they pay a premium for them? Or is it because they have great offensive line with Penei Sewell, who is a first-team All-Pro? Or let's just keep going on the line. There is O-line play is making running backs better, not vice versa. So you know what? You're right. The running backs have been more successful, but it's not because of the rebirth or return of the back. It's because the teams that invest heavy in offensive line and want to maul you at the line of scrimmage are doing that right now. The Chiefs are not one of those teams. They're not a maul you at the line of scrimmage type of team. They're a dink and dunk West Coast offense type of team. So it's not surprising that their screen back is their best yards from scrimmage guy. I would also tell you, most every team in the league has their running back be their highest yard from scrimmage guy. It's a little bit of fun with numbers by you.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Wide receiver doesn't usually get a chance to run and catch, where running back is to do both. I bet if you look up top yards from scrimmage, more likely than not, most all of them are running back because there are multiple ways for them to acquire yards. So it's a little bit of fun with numbers by you over there. But no, I'm not believing this is some rebirth of how great running back is. This is a testament to good team building by building good offensive lines in front of those people.
Okay, I mean, I don't want to spend a lot of time. I mean, I just saw Minnesota do it, and Aaron Jones certainly doesn't lead them from yards per scrimmage. We could certainly find examples to prove other side. I don't want to get bogged down in the minutia of that argument. I think we're seeing the rebirth of the running back. Again, my point is not that your running back should be your highest paid offensive player, but what I think we've seen is teams now overvalue their third wide receiver than their running back, and that doesn't make sense to me. Why teams are so willing to go out and pay Darnell Mooney when you've invested a top five pick in Kyle Pitts and you've invested a top 10 pick in Drake London, why you spend more resources to go get Darnell Mooney than go get a quality back doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me how we know the impact that Saquon Barkley can have on a team, and a team had a choice between getting Saquon Barkley and Gabe Davis and they chose to go get Gabe Davis. That doesn't add up to me. Not when you see the teams that can't run the football, and some of that is certainly tied to the offensive lines, but if you're Denver, you have no chance of taking that next step if your team can't learn how to run the football, and that was one of Denver's biggest problems this year.
Probably real quick, I don't want to interrupt. I did look it up for fun. Of the top 10 yards from scrimmage people in the NFL this year, 8 were running backs, and more
probably
fun
a lot
with
of
numbers.
Bad teams.
And let's have more fun with it. You said Aaron Jones. I know for a fact he doesn't lead his team in yards from scrimmage. Do you know what he does? Lead his team in yards from scrimmage. He has more total yards this year than Justin Jefferson.
I'm wrong.
The only two wideouts that are in the top 10 are Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase.
And
Jamar Chase. It's a little bit of fun with numbers over there to pick that stat. It'd be like me being like, hey, who had more catches this year, the running back or the tight end? See,
well,
you picked a little bit of a fun with numbers stat.
Well, I would say on most of those good teams, to be fair, on most of the good teams, their best offensive skill position player this year was their running back.
By the way, I go to the top 20.
Really quick. For Baltimore, their best player was a running back. I'm sorry. I just saw them dominate a team, and they didn't have Zay Flowers. You didn't even notice Zay Flowers wasn't there because they had Derrick Henry there. On the Philadelphia Eagles, A.J. Brown is incredible. Devontae Smith is good. Their best offensive player is Saquon Barkley. So on some of these teams where these guys are leading their teams in stats, it's not by coincidence. It's we have the best offensive player in the league in Saquon Barkley. We need to make it a point to try to get him the football.
I'm just saying, of the top 20, 3 are wide receivers. The top 25, 5 are wide receivers. Running back, this is a running back dominated stat. So I'm not disagreeing with your
point. That's because this year, back lives matter. That's why. That's why. Return of the back. You're not believing in return of the back. And back lives matter. I'm here to tell you that they matter. Christian McCaffrey, come back. That's what we need you to do. Come back to the league, Christian. We missed you this year. You noticed Christian McCaffrey got hurt. The 49ers fell apart. When they had Christian McCaffrey, they were comparable to the Kansas City Chiefs. They lost them, and they were the 17th best team in the league. Running backs matter. Coming up on the other side, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtz, is going to join us in studio. Keep it right here. So drive.